being held in compliance with the open public meeting law, in that the requirements of the law have been met with the posting of the meeting notice on the municipal bulletin board, filed with the borough clerk, and forwarded to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. This time I'd like to ask everybody to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, the Supreme Republic, which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, let's take roll call.
Mayor Moore.
Here.
Council President Gomez.
Here.
Councilman Petty.
Here.
Councilman Francatelli.
Here.
Councilman Longo.
Here.
Councilwoman Berchevic.
Here.
Councilman Lopez.
Here.
Okay, next we'd like to approve the December 27th, 22 regular meeting minutes. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez.
Yes.
Councilman Petty.
Abstain.
Councilman Francatelli.
Yes.
Councilman Longo.
Yes.
Councilwoman Berchevic.
This is for abstain. I wasn't here.
You were here by phone, weren't you?
What?
That was last year.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's December.
It's Councilman Lopez.
Abstain.
We weren't here.
In the audience or something.
Yeah.
December 27th.
Yeah. No, you weren't on. You were here, but you weren't on.
Yeah. Okay, next we'd like to approve the January 3rd, 2023 reorganization meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez.
Yes.
Councilman Petty.
Abstain.
Councilman Francatelli.
Yes.
Councilman Longo.
Yes.
Councilwoman Berchevic.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
And finally, for the January 10th, 2023 regular meeting minutes, do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez.
Yes.
Councilman Petty.
Abstain.
Councilman Francatelli.
Yes.
Councilman Longo.
Yes.
Councilwoman Berchevic.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
All right, at this time, I'd like to invite any members of the public for comments or discussion. If you could just state your name and address into the microphone.
Roseanne Short, 169 Cherry Avenue. I was wondering, we didn't get snow yet, but I saw in the little paper we got from the Bamberg Borough that you can't park on grass at all. But I know our neighbors park there when they get snow because they got too many cars. You can't fit them in the driveway. But I'm worried about the people from the Bamberg Garden Apartments on Cherry Avenue. They're not allowed to park on Cherry Avenue where the school is. There's no parking when the snow is. So they park on Hayward Street. So what's going to happen to all those apartment cars? Because you said you're going to give them tickets if you don't, you know, take the cars so that the plows could go through and plow them. So what's going to happen to all those cars that are from the apartments? Because they take up mostly all of Hayward Street. And so they were wondering, because one of the persons that said to me, I said, well, I have an extra spot in my driveway, but I'm giving it to my neighbor across the street, because he helps shovel it if I have a problem. But so they're wondering, they said, where are they going to go with their cars? They said, they're not going to St. Mary's Church. It's too far to walk down there. They said, there's no place to go in Bamberg to ground, so you could just walk a block or two. But they don't want to walk all the way downtown. It's senseless, so they want to know what they're to do.
Does anybody?
Well, you know, I was going to bring that up on the report. Is how exactly, because it's been a complaint for more than one person I've heard so far, how strategically are we going to handle all of it? All of you can park on the street. Are we going to lift the requirement or the enforcement of parking on lawns? Or are we going to stagger?
Anybody else have any opinion? Mr. Longo, do you have an opinion what they should do?
I'd like to suggest that they park on school property, but I would imagine the school has to
be unplowed.
I would think those roads, I don't have an answer for.
I know. No one seems to have an answer with these. people should do.
I think Hector wants to say something.
Yeah, I saw that. So the direction of your opinion, residents, is one of two things. Yes, we're going to suspend the law that you can't park on your lawn, the grass, and the lawn. And we'll also direct folks to park down at the park.
So even people on the north side?
I mean, that's a long park. A lot of those people that live in the park, and some of them are older people.
The north side is against the clock, but it's the south side. So I don't know that we'll have some issues.
We have a lot of cars.
She's referring to Cherry Avenue, who doesn't have any lawn to park on, and I don't think...
Yeah, that's it. You know, some people don't have a lawn to park, and some don't just have parking spaces for two cars. And
you
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Historically, we've had a number of snowstorms over the years, decades, where we declared a state of emergency and imposed the exact same regulation. It always worked itself out. And we always did it those storms. Keep a reprieve with little turns of parking on the lawn, which is what our intent is to do now, so that all the courts can get the roads cleaner, faster, safer.
But it's the people at the Bamberg Apartments where the school, Smalley School is, they're not allowed to park on Cherry Avenue, so they park on Hayward Street. Well, between the people that live there now, if you go there now, the normal people, they have two or three cars, four cars, and then when they come and park, there's no openings.
Now, this is...
It's really
has
bad.
Has it been the same rule when we declare a state of emergency? It's one of the reasons. It's one of the reasons that we are approving to declare a state of emergency is because it gives us the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we've allowed them to go from Cherry... We haven't allowed them to go from Cherry to
Hayward. To Hayward, yeah.
That's every road. A state of emergency has to move the cars from everywhere. Mm-hmm. So... My question would be, in the state of emergency, where do those people from...
Where do they park,
Yeah, what do they do now? What do they do now? What have they been done in the last state of emergencies over the last 5 years?
They've been parking on Hayward Street. No, Hayward Street does not get plowed. People, you know...
So
they're not allowed to park on Hayward Street.
So they managed to do something before, is what the chief is saying.
Yeah.
I think some of them went to the school park, into the school, but now they put a chain, I think, over there now, so that the people don't park there anymore. And people are going up to Windsor Street now parking. They're parking all over. You've got to come up there. You have to come up there to see it.
You're talking about the Cherry Avenue apartment people.
Yeah.
Nobody who lives in any of the houses on Cherry or Hayward or Windsor. It's just the people.
Yeah.
So they can't park in their regular parking?
They don't have enough room, I guess, in their...
So every day there's residents parking on Hayward.
So, no, they park there during the day.
Yeah.
But they can't park where the school is. Mm-hmm. But when snow was there, you can't park on Cherry Avenue at all where the school is. You have to, so they moved to Windsor and Hayward Street. And I was asked last week by one of the gentlemen if he could park in my driveway. And I said, I would let you, but I'm allowing my neighbor across the street because they have five cars to park in.
I think when you are renting an apartment, the parking is something that you have to figure out as a tenant.
Those apartments have been up there since 1949.
I know they haven't.
They don't have enough parking.
But still, you rent an apartment that doesn't have enough parking, you have to have a plan. Mm-hmm. And the plan isn't to park on your street. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, I think the town has to enforce that.
Yeah.
Tell those people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you bought a house, you have a driveway, you have a garage, you have a place to park.
But you see, when these people are, years ago, you had one car, or maybe none in Bamberg. Now, even in those apartments, most everybody has two cars. You see families in there.
Right. Too. Well, that's something that's on them. I don't want to sound mean, but that's something that they have to
do. Well, maybe
out.
You should address the Bamberg Garden apartment, those apartments there, and see. I think at one time, years ago, when I came to the council meeting, they have space back there where their dumpsters is, and I thought they were supposed to put a parking lot in there. I don't think it ever came to,
Fruition.
I I'm trying to remember, and we were talking about it, and we said, yes, that something was supposed to be done there, and it never was done. I don't know whether they just didn't do it or what, but that there was supposed to be parking back. There was enough room to park some cars back there. They have a couple of places to park. They have garages, but maybe about five or six. And then they do have some this way, but you pay extra for it, and but they're all taken. You can see they're all taken.
The apartments do have spaces for them. The tenants don't want to pay.
No,
so
it's not.
Really
yeah. No, they don't have enough for the. They have a lot of people there now. You see, there weren't cars like that years ago. There, I mean, it's just lined the street.
So, I think from the council, police chief, is that they just won't be able to park on the street. So, mm-hmm. have to make other accommodations, whether it be walk or Uber mm-hmm. down to the commuter lot, which is going to be over mm-hmm. for parkers.
I mean, nobody's going to.
Or take it upon themselves to ask another neighbor. So what we're weighing is keeping the roads open and clear for everyone mm-hmm. versus 15 cars, 10 cars. Mm-hmm. I would think we have, as a council, and for safety, we have to err on the side of the entire community mm-hmm. rather than the 10 people who have to take it upon themselves to move their car. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether they, will meet their neighbors.
Well, we'll see at the first snowfall what's going to happen.
I would imagine mm-hmm. the chief will let us know.
I would imagine it's the exact same thing that happened in the very last state of emergency. Mm-hmm. They did something for the neighbors. It wasn't just leaving them on the streets. They moved them somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's going to be the exact same situation. Mm-hmm. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Move their vehicles either mm-hmm. to the commuter lot or some other designated area. Mm-hmm.
Also, do we have a pumper truck? Fire department.
A
pumper truck.
Yes.
All right. The Shade Tree Commission asked people to water the trees when they plant them, even though the people didn't want the trees. This is a big thing going on in town. People will not water the plants because they said they didn't. They send a letter back, said, I don't want a tree in front of my house. And the tree is still planted, and then they're asked to water it. One of my neighbors had four trees put in, and he didn't want any of those trees because he just took two out that he had to pay for that were dead. And he started watering them, and he said to me, I'm not watering these trees anymore. He said, my water bill went up high. And then we had the drought, so those trees did not get watered. And right now, I hate to say, in my neighborhood, there must be about 12 trees that are dead that were planted. Mm-hmm. Now, I think something has to be done. And people said they sent letters down to the borough, back to the borough, and said, we didn't want the trees, and they're still planted, and they're getting disgusted with this. And so why send a letter to somebody and then you go still plant the tree? It shouldn't be done. No. I mean, I believe in the environment, but right now we still have a lot of wires around. Trees come down. Our government's crazy, too, about thinking of doing that. They want to go all electric, but they're crazy. Until we can get underground wires, the trees are still, and then when the trees are cut, some of them are cut like this in the middle.
Planting trees and see what they say for the next week.
Yeah. No, it's not.
See if that's something you want.
Nobody
wants to plant trees.
Trees.
According to.
I mean, it's a shame to see those trees dead.
Everybody told them nobody wants to plant trees.
Yeah.
I guess the question that I'm hearing is there an alternative to watering the trees, right?
Yeah.
Are the trees bagged, right? The trees have a water bag on them?
Yeah, they have a bag. If the pumper truck, firemen aren't unless there's a fire, can't they go and water those trees?
No, that's not their job.
Well, the issue is, we want to have a way to water the trees without asking, making the residents do it.
And usually, and so DPW, I believe, has done it in the past. As they plant them, they work in conjunction with DPW. Now, also, those letters do get sent out to homes, and when people request not to have trees put in, they are not put in. I know that because...
Well, not on our street. I hate to tell you that.
If you let me finish, I can tell you, at least from my experience, all the trees died on West 2nd. And I had multiple residents that didn't want trees to go back up. The street was lined with trees. I took two. The neighbor next to us took two. But that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to weigh the greater good, right? Just because you don't want a tree, that portion of the street no longer belongs to you. That is the right of way. So whether you want a tree or not, I would always argue, put the tree in anyway. It's good for the environment. It's good for the area. It appreciates, every tree appreciates a property value by, I think it's $15,000, $20,000 per tree. So when you find neighborhoods that don't have any street trees, you diminish the value of that neighborhood as a whole, including every property on that neighborhood.
No, I'm just saying that. Now, why
put... don't want to put water in a tree.
Yeah.
I understand what Linda's saying. Yeah. And I think we already have a solution where DPW goes out and addresses the trees that are required.
So, Dale, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a shame to see those trees stand in there because that neighbor, that homeowner, didn't want to water the tree. To me, it's like a waste of a tree.
Yeah.
You know, I had trees. I have a big one in front of
I'm
my
a tree hugger, so.
From the borough years ago. It's,
I get it.
You know,
I'm a tree hugger. So trees fall under our purview, right? Mm-hmm. Under DPW, shade tree matters. So I think we can look at this.
Yeah,
right?
The shade tree requested. We have no problem with it. Sometimes they have a contract. It's in their contract to water, or they have other means. But if they requested it, like last year we did it with all the fires that were there. Especially
with
the drought, it was
horrific. Yeah, when the
drought
came,
Maybe it's a
matter of coordinating. Currently, I have shade trees. You want to align that with you so that you also have shade trees since you have people?
Whatever, that's fine. I know that it's in the bylaws, it's under DPW, so whatever makes sense.
So then, let's realign that. I'll make a motion at the end
That's fine.
The other thing we have to remember is, the drought isn't the only reason why we've lost trees. We've lost a lot of trees because of insects.
Oh, yeah.
The ash trees have all died. What was it, the lantern bug or whatever they say? Lantern flies. They've been killing trees. So it's not the only reason why they died. And sometimes they just die, don't they?
No, but I mean, they look off of being dead, standing there
and
dead.
We had a tree in front of our yard. I think we may have watered it a couple times, but it really took off. Good shape. So
it only had to water in the first season.
It's not much work.
It's not me. I didn't have any trees, but my neighbors, because they know I come to the meeting.
And it's not up to a resident to say, I don't want a tree, right? If it's a street tree on the...
But they do have the option of rejecting.
They do.
They sent a letter. That's what people said to me. I didn't get a... They showed me the letter.
You know what happens is a lot of the time, and Mary was diligent about keeping copies of it. She would send out the letters, and you're supposed to fill out the letter or return it back to the borough by X date, usually the first week in the evening. And then they do all the tree planting before the season is over.
Okay.
Some people throw those letters away, and then later on they say, I don't want a tree. I returned it. No, you didn't. We have copies of all that stuff. You know, and we do have copies of the letters that do come back and say, hey, guys, we don't want a tree in front of our house. And it happens all the time. I'm all in favor of more trees anywhere we can find trees, anywhere we can soften it, make it look better. So, you know, this is...
It sounds like the issue isn't that she doesn't want trees, it's that
they don't get water. Right.
She doesn't want to have dead trees.
In the instance that she's talking about, the person who didn't want the trees at all in front of their house. And they were out of corner, so there was two and two, and
Right now, there's about 12 between Hayward and Cherry Avenue by the school and down that high school field. Because I walked that way.
Well, we will come up with a strategy to water those trees moving forward.
I want to talk to you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Anybody else on public comment? I'm going to state your name.
My name is Ivana Romero. I'm the Healthy Star. This is on 427 East Main Street. I'm here because, as we know, there's a promise, a 30 days for a solution to our big mess in downtown. So that's why we're here.
Yeah, we have
to know what's going on. There is something that you guys do not forget about loading zone, parking, and there is something that I forgot to mention the other day. Hint underload, all towns, all main streets have to have handicap parking. There is no handicap parking on Main Street. And I know I'm being saying this all the time that I can, but loading zone in front of my store, I don't think is the best place for. If you see the computer, it's right in the corner next to the new construction, and I don't think it's a safe place. And what happens is every day I see 4, 5, 6 trucks loading merchandise in front of my store. So you guys, I don't think I can handle this anymore. Yes. Seeing trucks in front of my store every day, that's not good. So make sure that loading zone is, you guys have to make sure where you guys go. I'm not agreeing. Loading zone in front of my store is not good. And probably some of them, I want to say something. So that's my time. 1 minute. I made it.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Oh, there's a question.
So, there is no translator today, too?
None was requested.
No.
Yes. No, yes, we did. Kay did. Okay, this morning, she called this morning, and also I called too and make a favor for the translator.
How much notice do we need to get a translator for a meeting?
Is Les here? She was hired.
She's here. She can be a translator.
Yes. Yeah. All right. How much notice do we need to make sure that, so that if that's, I mean, obviously, if you came today, I could.
You should be translated.
At least, because it depends on the.
Okay, so what happened is, so if we can do something, like they can talk, he understands, he's a bilingual. I understand, I will understand.
You can do it officially, it's not going to go in the record.
It won't be in the record.
You can speak whatever language you want. And we understand. I'm happy to understand and respond. If you like.
The problem is, the problem is I don't understand Spanish.
No, because I want to be on the record.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
No.
Again, we have heard you guys, and we have items on the agenda.
Yeah. Did you see the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
So we do. We're working. It is. It's not something we consider important. I think the two ordinances here, I think, will be helpful.
Can you guys have a translator for next meeting? So it's 2 weeks' notice?
Yeah. Yes. Right?
Yes. Yes. You'll request one.
Yes.
It's not up to us, but we'll make every effort to. We'll put in the request, right?
Yeah, because you guys represent in the town, so you guys here to work for us.
Why don't you call the day before to confirm that we were able to get it? Because it's not up to us, it's up to the translating place, but we'll make the request, and I'm hopeful 2 weeks is plenty of time.
Good. Yeah, I'd like that.
Okay.
Yeah, because like Councilman Perez tell you, I would just sit here and be like,
Yeah.
I have this.
Okay.
We should.
Okay. Without any further comments, we were going to. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So, I don't have a comment. My name is Ken Musgrove. I'm the Director of Recovery Support for Community in Crisis. We're physically located in Burnageville, but we are the Somerset County's Community Peer Recovery Center, and we will be coming to Bound Brook starting on February 2nd. We're going to be at St. Paul's Episcopal Church on a monthly basis for 4 hours every month to offer peer recovery services, one-on-one peer recovery services, healthy lifestyle presentations, an all recovery meeting. We'll have mental health peers as well as substance use, folks with substance use experience to speak to residents and offer resources to them. We'll also have free Narcan kits, fentanyl test strips, so home reduction materials to distribute. Everything, we're a nonprofit, so everything we do is free of charge. And we do have one of our interns is bilingual, so we'll be able to offer bilingual services as well. And as I said, we'll be at St. Paul's, and then we're happy to be part of the town. And any way we can help you, or any, if you guys have anybody that needs our services, please send them our way. And we're committed to be here for the next year, the first Thursday of the month, every month from 3 to 7 at St. Paul's and Church Street.
Okay, we have a little write-up.
Yep.
We're more than happy to post it on our website and our Facebook page.
Yep.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comment? Okay. Almost, we're good. Thank you. We were going to open bids for the Bound Brook pool renovations, phase one, but that's been postponed. Yep.
Yeah, so we discovered just some errors in the bid specs. So all the persons who requested a bid and submitted a bid, the bids were never opened. They remained sealed. They were notified that the bids were canceled. And either the bids were returned or they have 10 days to pick them up. If they aren't all returned, they'll be returned. And I believe you have a resolution on for tonight to rebid it with the correct specs. It was just due to an error that we noted in the specs.
Okay. Thank you. Just grab that mic. And we're going to move on to Director of Public Works, Dale Loomer's engineering report.
Hi, Mayor. Thank you. So real quick, the ongoing issue with the landfill and parking lot, I believe Legion Park, gave the DEP a status update yesterday. Right now with the wet conditions, it's difficult to get back along that creek side to get the debris out of what they're requesting. Hopefully we do get a good freeze where the ground hardens up and we can get back there and clean up what they want. They did request additional samples to be taken to the water. I know T&M did that, and I believe they're under draft lab being processed. Next is the 2021 NJDOT Local Aid. We had requested a time extension to award a construction project for that grant. That request is in process. We've been working with the state, giving them information they want as they move forward, and in the hopes of everything remaining intact, and we can move forward with the grant on that. The eastbound train station project demolition is continuing. They are making good progress. We have another project meeting this week. To go over their schedule, take a look at their schedule, see how things are progressing. I know they are looking for a time extension that the state would have to consider, and basically that's just because of the delays caused by the Conrail and Transit trying to get their comments satisfied. The 2020 road program, that final closeout documentation is currently underway. The 21 road program, all punchless items have now been addressed. The remaining item was the wood guardrail at the end of Van Curen on the dead end on the north side. That's been installed now. So final closeout paperwork has been initiated, and all funding has been requested from Simpson County Community Development. I do believe they sent the one portion for $99,000, and then there's another $75,000 that they will be sending in the next week or so. The 22 road program, that's the reconstruction of West 2nd Street from Church to Mountain. The upper portion of Maiden Lane from West High to about 175 feet south of West High where the developer stopped. And Park Place from Evergreen to West High Street. That's got $100,000 in funding from Community Development, Somerset County for Maiden Lane, as well as that grant I was just discussing from the DMT. Project survey and design are currently underway. So we are that would go out to bid in the spring, late winter, and be ready to hit the pavement, so to speak, once the weather cooperates. I did mention last meeting the 22 resurfacing program that the county has been completed. We talked about the pool rehab project going out for rebid. I had further discussions with New Jersey American Water regarding Ross Lane and Farm Lane. The agreement, again, has been $117,800 from the water company to put towards additional infrastructure up in that area because it is so flat and very little drainage in that area. We've had ponding up in that area for years and years and years and years. And just to try to pave it out, just it's just too flat to try to get any kind of a grade out of it. So this is something that's been long overdue. And we're moving forward with that project as the rest of the funding allows for. The last thing I want to talk about is the Middlebrook Road improvements. As I discussed last meeting, I did have a meeting with Bridgewater Township on the 5th. We talked about the different situations on the roadway regarding the Boundbrook side of the roadway as well as safety concerns up and down the construction area. We discussed how we're, I requested them to discuss the easement and encroachment issues with the two Boundbrook residents that they've put assholes onto their properties with. They are also looking to widen the roadway potentially 2 to 3 feet to try to make it more safe. They are looking to see if the area will allow for that instead of just repaving what's there. Right now, it just meanders back and forth with various widths. When we have a school bus coming through, it's almost like a game of chicken. Just who's going to move and where you're going to go if you look for that nearest driveway. At my request, I did ask them to solicit a quote from their current contractor that's working on the road. As we are interested in installing curbing along the Boundbrook edge of the roadway, basically from Washington Road back to the western side to where the borough's limits are. With a contractor in place here, we may get a better price instead of having somebody go up there immobilized. And that could be working to the agreement with Bridgewater on this roadway. So that's just a thought. It's nothing that's in stone, obviously. It's just an option at this point to explore. I requested a written memo regarding the drainage study for the runoff that's coming to Middlebrook Road. They are claiming a lot of it is now going to stay on their side of the street with the improvements with the deeper ditches, the additional infrastructure on their side, with very little going into our infrastructure. But I told them I wanted that in writing. I didn't want to just take their word for it. And then I've also asked for a draft agreement from any, about any of the work being done on that road that is going to affect Boundbrook adversely or or better for the residents themselves. So they are working on that draft with their attorney. Once we get it, I'll review Hector, our attorney, and circulate it to Mayor and Council, and then we can go from there. But there's still a lot of work to do. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we want the best road that's going to satisfy the residents up there, and I think it's a step in the right direction, but there's a lot of work to do yet. And that's my report.
Very good. Anybody have any questions?
Just one question. Do you know how many bids we got on the pool?
I did not see them. Jasmine, did you?
We did not receive any bids.
I know that the pre-bid, Councilman, we had two pool contractors there. Either one who had any desire to be a general contractor for the project. He just wanted to do the pool work and not the electrical and the carpentry work.
So we didn't return any bid packages to anybody?
If none were received, then nothing to return.
Were we going to ask to break up this bid then for electrical work, for plumbing work, for the pool itself?
So this is,
we brought up this problem before.
I think this is a little bit different. We feel a lot more confident than we did a year ago when we were looking for bids on the line. But I'm confident that there are at least two outlets that are going to be submitting a bid. I believe one of the reasons why we received them today was I think they were expecting that we were already going to postpone the bid opening to February 7th before we realized that there were additional errors. That was based on the addendum that we requested late last week. So it's one reason why I'm not surprised we didn't have any business at the time. Normally, these outlets won't see the bid until the last possible.
Okay.
Are we on schedule to have a pool this summer, or how is that looking?
So the answer is we won't know until bids are received, contracts are out, and we get a timeline from the successful bid. That's the official answer. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm not ready to give up. I'm not ready to say that it's an official note.
And that process typically takes is
from the award of the bid to sign contracts. 3 weeks.
Oh, weeks, so not months. So we're like what?
From the time where we award the project.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put this back out on the street, right? What's the timeline for that?
7th.
On the 7th. So 3 weeks to award after that?
I imagine.
To contract.
So March 1st.
Sometime early March.
And then after that, they have to put in permits and all that stuff to the department. They have, I think, 21 days to come back to them after inspections. They got to start April 1st and be on a 60-day turnaround, which is never going to end.
I'm not ready to say no. I mean, Google offers
a question. I've been saying this over the last year. The timeline is probably unrealistic. It's super aggressive, and any slippage of the time, which already this when you put twice rate, we're about a month and a half behind. You're already best case scenario July 20th.
It's kind of all the above. Right? Is there going to be a pool? And, right, what was the process, understanding now the timeline. So April 1st, if you start construction, you're probably looking at a late start. You're not going to open on Memorial Day, right?
That
would, what date do you open? June?
June 20th.
Yeah.
After school. After school, okay. So potentially a later open. We're hoping for a later open. Is that real? I mean, okay. You're not ready to say we're not going to open.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
The good thing is supply chain issues have eased up across the board, especially with construction material. So that was something that we had anticipated having while we're live. So that might buy us a couple weeks, hopefully. I'm not super optimistic about this.
I hope so. We'll see.
God, I hope so. I don't want to have my kids in my house all day. I want to call every day during the setting.
All right. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Let's go to the committee report. Start with Chair of Finance, Councilman Longo.
All right, briefly, the Special Improvement District, we have not had an official meeting yet, so nothing to report from that. The Recreation Commission has their reorganizational meeting tomorrow. We have one vacancy, so if there's anyone in the public who might be interested in serving on the commission, we'd welcome you. From a finance standpoint, I think we're prepared to submit to the council or the capital request from all the departments, so you can have a look at what those are. From a budget standpoint, the budget process is ongoing. We're working on, I don't know the date, it'll be before the entire council, March, April, I'm not sure what the target date is for that.
We're buying up at March 28th.
March 28th.
That's about buying up.
All I can say about the budget, I one day I think we're in great financial situation. The next day we get hit with a large bill from some entity, whether it's $500,000 from the state because of the health benefits. You can see we have something in the agenda where we owe $689,000 from back insurance bills back to 2001 through, I guess, this day that we now owe. We got a bill from the state of New Jersey for $177,000 for increased pension costs. This year we have to pay for crossing guards, which probably was, I would guess, about $150,000 more than we've paid in the past. We have to have crossing guards during the summer, which I don't think we've ever had that many crossing guards because we have that many more kids going to school in the summer due to the pandemic, the learning loss. So we're dealing with quite a few increases in our budget this year. Really not anything we've done, just what from the state of New Jersey and from what other insurance company have levied on us. We're working on it. I don't know how it's going to be turn out, but I know our goal is to keep taxes flat in Bound Brook. And we're going to do our best. Without being political, without making a general statement, this year we can, from the downtown pilot programs, we contributed roughly $1 million. If we didn't have any building downtown, guess where we would have came up with $1 million? That's only that. And the future bills that come in, there's only one way we would get it if there was nothing going on downtown. And that is, we'd have to assess it on the taxpayer. There's no other way. So before we remember as council members, before we go or as citizens go and poo-poo what's going on downtown, to me, it's keeping this town alive, because I don't know in the state of New Jersey how towns that don't have the activity going on like that can survive with the bills we're getting, which they just pass on to us. So, like I said, we're constantly working on this, and we believe we're going to bring it to a good point. But it's a tough, frustrating battle preparing a budget here in New Jersey from all our departments, and we're not hiring. We don't have a lot of fluff in our budget. I welcome anybody to look at it. We're not hiring extra people to deal with what's going on downtown right now. We're dealing with what we have right now. So bear with us, and I'm hoping we'll have good information or good news when we come out, but it's not the best of times in New Jersey. That's my only quick comment.
Well, and a lot of what you're talking about is not in our control.
Exactly.
We don't get to choose how much the health insurance charges or pension contributions. We don't have that control. And those, correct me if I'm wrong, those are some of the biggest.
And Mayor, when I first was on this council in 2008-2009, we used to get something called extraordinary aid, which was over $1 million. That's gone. That's gone. So that's another thing we have to make up. We haven't made up, actually.
To add to the thought, we have a health insurance fund balance because of pilots and the economic development that has gone on. So at the end of the day, it may end up being $2 million. $940,000 is what comes in directly from the pilots right to the budget. Plus, it'll probably be another million or so. That'll probably help offset taxes to bring them close to nothing this year, or a zero increase. So it's working. We have 5 or 6 new buildings that are coming online. There's always, we're being told there's $1.2 million or $1.2 million in shortfall. And just the first 6 buildings, we should be able to offset that in the next 24 months. So that's a good thing. Otherwise, it would be 2.4, 2.6 behind that we have to charge taxes, which honestly, I don't understand how anybody does it. In any town, in any place in the country, and most places don't have to do it. This is New Jersey. In taxes almost across the board and every year. And now we sit behind to the second place. But we take first by the very next year. So I think we'll at the end of the day we'll do a great job. We do have to obviously hope schoolwork maintains based on the rate they have to adjust, because again we try to adjust ours based on the rates of home. I would think that this year the rates are going to stay pretty steady because of the economy, so much activity hasn't occurred. So I'm hoping that between the county and the school, everything stays level, and the taxes may come in level for everybody.
That's our aim. That's our aim.
My aim is the country.
Well, we also have to worry about still fixing roads and maintaining, keeping our town. So it's a balance, and we've been the finance committee for a long time.
That's it, Mayor.
Very good. Thank you. All right, next on to Chair of Public Works, Buildings, Grounds, and Utilities, Councilwoman Brinkovich.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming this evening. I just want to correct this, that Board of Health is not under me. It's under Vinny, I believe. So,
correct.
So that has to be just Board taken off. So, all right. So I met with our Chair of Public Works back on maybe January 3rd. I don't know. Right away we met, right? Seems like so long ago, but it wasn't, right? So, I put together a project document. I'm all about getting things done. And, based on what Public Works has under their authority in the bylaws, they have a lot. They have a lot going on, you know. We do have some overlap with other departments, with code and with SID, but I think we all can say that, you know, we want the town looking better. And having said that, I'd like to see it probably sooner than later, right? And I will keep pushing, and that's just my project management background. So I'm all about kind of identifying what's broken and fixing it. So, you know, we talked about road maintenance, street cleaning, you know, the permanent signs that we want to put out eventually, maintenance of just properties, right, that belong to the borough, and understanding what properties are responsible for and residents, and what the borough is responsible for. So, you know, I don't know. I know a lot of people maybe complain about the sidewalks. Really, the sidewalks are the responsibility of the resident, right? But, of course, if a tree uproots a sidewalk, we will potentially fix that. You know, we can't guarantee it, but we try to help out where we can. So, I mean, there's definitely some crossover, but, you know, I mean, I've heard it for years, Roseanne Short and Carol Hullab coming before the council and speaking about the way the town looks. And I think that's what is really top of mind on my list, you know, the gateways to town, and fixing up the entire borough, right? So I want to hear from people on all areas of, you know, I'm focused downtown, right? I live there. I see the litter. I see the broken things, you know, and hope that, you know, we can just work across the Bound Brook, right? We're all stewards of the brand, right? This is our brand. And we need, you know, to come out looking good. There's a perception out there of the town. And, you know, I'm not, you know, looking for folks, you know, I'm not saying you're not going above and beyond, but do a good job, right? Do a thorough job. Get it done. Get it done right. I'm a stickler for detail. And that's, you know, it's not all about me. It's all about you, right? We all got to feel good about where we live and quality of life. So I met also then with Hector as well, and we had a good meeting because he oversees all of this, right? So it all really ladders up to Hector, and should be, you know, proud of your town and you know, of course, want to help us all work together. So I think probably next on my list is to meet with the code chair, which we've had discussions, right? I have multiple pictures of things throughout the town, and also with Sid, with Tony, Councilman Francitelli, and see, you know, where we can join forces and see some action, you know, and improvements. And we're not talking about a lot of money, and it's not going to take much to switch things over and make things look good. But so that's it really on public works, unless anyone has any questions about that. And like I said, we have a lot of work ahead of us. The Board of Health, I did not have a meeting, but I know Hector is involved with negotiations right now. Not the Board of Health, the Library Board. The Library Board. There are a couple things at the library, the facade, and then there's a leak in the roof as well, right? Now, I don't know if that's part of your negotiations or what's going on. I know it was pointed out to me, and I'll just say, my husband, I'll be very candid, is a contractor, and said that if the facade is going to need some attention. I'm not looking for work by any means. I'm not putting out a bid for my husband, so let's get that on the record. But it's something that is going to need attention in the near future, or you're not going to be able to replace that, you know, and the building has a historic character to it, right, and architectural detail. So I just wanted to point out the facade on High Street there. It's across from the Kissel Building, right, and the roof, which Dale, you may already even know about, right? The issues with it, or is that? Yeah, sure.
So the borough received a grant from the state library, mm-hmm.
And that was to do mostly with developer sealing up the building, repointing, and then going in also fixing a lot of the damage that was done to the woodwork.
Plaster.
So where we are in that process is we are waiting on the lead paint test to come back. That's the last piece I need before I can go out of it. The big steps are basically all set. We were actually just about ready to go out to bid when the architect realized that we did not have that. So that's the last thing I would imagine that we should be out to bid in the next 6 weeks. I would imagine that after that, probably 3 or 4 more months before work starts. 3 to 4 months from now, work starts about 6 weeks
plus. Okay.
So, 3 or 4 more months from now, I imagine that work will commence on that.
For the roof.
This is going to be the 20.
Oh, the facade, that facade.
Yeah,
yes, okay.
This is something that's going to be worse. So we got the grants. I want to say funding is in place, our map is in place. So we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
All
right. Mm-hmm. And then you're working on the negotiating with the county as well, right? Okay. All right.
Quick question.
Yeah.
The HVAC at the library?
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that. I skipped right over that. So basically, the design is underway.
Okay.
We are still on track to spend the money by the April deadline. I did a walkthrough. walkthrough with TN to go over the system, went over all the components, all the different air units on all the floors, and it seems like the money we have will. Should be the ballpark to cover what we need to do to get that system up and running properly.
Good.
All right.
Okay.
Any other
questions? No, I think that's it.
Great. Thank you.
I just have a quick question without trying to be a knucklehead, but we've had all these business owners in front of us over the last. What kind of? A lot of the pictures you showed me are. In front of businesses that are kind of the responsibility of the business owners, do the business owners go out and clean their property? All of you go out, and maybe you can't all understand me, but do you go out and clean in front of the business every day? Because it seems like the complaints are from the downtown area. Yeah, I'm sorry if I...
First of all, I want to transfer the business to you.
Please. I don't feel like I can come here and talk with normal people.
They're not in front of
me. For the last 12 years, I've been in Main Street. All these people are very honest. There is no garbage cans. On the sidewalks. You guys talk about to see Bamboo clean? Why you don't close torpedoes? Do you would like to see your son walking through the torpedoes?
You can't just close the business. I can't just show up.
Oh, so you are against us all the time. You know what? We are very honest people and work people.
Yeah. Nobody said that you were.
And no one of you. Come to, let me talk a bit. No, oh my God, you want to pray now?
No.
Okay, so let me talk. Let me finish. If you, I haven't made a letter that you haven't answered.
My pictures on top
of it. I sent you a letter in November. Who is answering the letter? We here, we people. You haven't answered Mr. David, the letter that I sent you to you. We want to work with you guys. No one of you haven't come to our store. We're dealing with all this situation. I know you guys are happy to have 5, 6, 7 buildings. Okay. But we want to be on the process. For the last 10, 15 years, nobody cares about Main Street, how it looks. And let me answer the question. It's not us. You guys have money. Where is the money from? You guys sell the parking lots? Where is the money from? Where the money goes? Do you have been sell the town where is the money? Did you have been sell the town where is the money?
It's in our budget.
So why you guys keep pushing our business? We're not going nowhere. You guys have to help us.
We want you.
We are supporting Main Street. Do you understand? We're supporting Main Street with our hard work. We came here for loading some, for parking. We're dealing too much. Maybe what you guys want is bring rich people. You want to push us out of the way?
No, again.
After a few years, no.
We have.
No.
We want to work with you guys.
We saw garbage things.
I'm sorry, that was my fault.
And now there is only one who is taking the garbage.
We're gonna get more garbage cans.
Only one who is cleaning all the time. I have garbage.
I'm gonna ask us to sit down. We weren't supposed to. This is not a public comment. There'll be another opportunity.
No, but he is looking at me. It's not fair.
I just have to. And
it's not fair the way that you're looking at me.
Yeah, no. Can you sit down, please?
I'm here for solution.
We're gonna have parking.
Okay, so tell him, please, do not look at me. And he was talking from here to there.
I need you to sit down, please.
Yes, thank you. But
you
better respect me.
Thank you. You had one more?
No. We're going to save it for the end.
Okay.
I've said this before. You probably heard me. I know this council has heard. The problem on Main Street is not a singular issue, right? It doesn't belong to DPW. It doesn't belong to code enforcement, which code enforcement is also should be taking part of it, because if violations need to be or warnings need to be given to a habitual offender, it needs to happen because that's part of the solution. The city needs to be out there cleaning up. On top of that, this is also a county road. The county does nothing for us. So this is a multi-group solution problem. So for everybody to them here, this is we should be working as a group to solve this problem.
Yeah.
And if we're not, there's the problem, right? Anybody who says they're doing that, they're not doing over here. Hey, listen, Vinny, yourself, and us three, which are on the city, are the problem, right? So if there's trash up there, it's our problem.
No, I know. That's
who the problems lie with. Mm-hmm. We need to fix it, and not trying to look at anybody else.
Agreed.
Yeah, and that's exactly.
And that's a good segue into Councilman Gomez's chair of public safety and the health of the multiple communities.
Police department. We just finished up the renovation of the police quarters over there. Which hasn't been done in about 40 years, so it's a nice paint and some new flooring over there, some new workspace that they required, and reorganization of some office and some meeting rooms over there. The new e-bikes are in also. I can't wait to see the chief running around the town on the e-bikes, and I do look forward to having them for community policing. That's going to be a great part of that. Police interviews for new recruits were undertaken. We identified one or two guys. The chief will make recommendations to the council in the next couple of weeks. We should see something on our agenda with some names and next action on those folks as the retiring group is leaving. We'll be hiring new guys. Fire department, we had a new chief and deputy chief sworn in, Matt Smith as chief, Mike Smogaki as deputy chief. Other than that, on the fire department, they're pretty solid right now. As everybody knows, we have new equipment for most of the houses right now that we purchased over the last 4 or 5 years, trucks, equipment. We have an ongoing air pack solution and turnout gear also that we purchase every year as part of the solution. So that's that. Also going through the budget right now, they had a couple capital requests that they're looking at to see where we can plug away and continue to bolster that department so to keep us safe. Rescue squad, the rescue squad right now is currently not active. So we are working on a new solution for EMS, and we should have a solution for this group within the next couple months. The full solution. We've reached out to neighboring communities. Right now, neighboring communities are servicing us, and our fear is that they may get tired of just servicing us without any. We offered some cash incentive. Nobody wants to commit, so they also don't want to take the money. I fear the day that we call for a true emergency and we can't get an ambulance. So we're moving as quickly as possible. We do have some solutions. These solutions may cost some money, but we also believe that the solutions themselves will offset the cost at the end of the day. Parking, we met with, with the Parking Commission. They didn't have a quorum, but there was some housekeeping items that they required. So we spent about an hour here just going over how meetings are to be ran. Writing agendas, they are public meetings, so I don't believe that agendas had been provided before. So those should be up on the website 4 days, 5 days ahead of time now. That was a request to have an agenda before Jasmine 7 days in advance. We will be reviewing on the agenda for February. We'll have the last parking study, which we'll be looking at, along with some of the parking issues that we have going on right now. Other than that, I did not meet with the Shade Tree. I had a conflict in schedule. And Arts Committee, I think, still has Tony, or the Lisa Tony was their guy, so they're emailing him instead of me. The Planning Board, we met, we reorganized. We had a reorg meeting, and we will have our first agenda meeting the 26th. I believe we only have one, which is this Thursday. We have one applicant, which is the property Clearview and Union Avenue, what used to be the old dry fingers up there, is on there. And future applications, I believe there's 3 future applications that we're looking at. Not waiting for the Planning Board. But you guys
address
what's going on over there.
All right. I have a question.
Sure.
I talked to the captain of the private rescue squad.
Okay.
He says he's active.
Can't be active. He has no insurance, and he does not have his status.
And also, he did say he would like to do a daytime paid shift if the borough gives some money to his staff.
So here's our problem with that. And Dina stopped me by it. I said, hey, man, I guess. unfortunately, the rescue squad in 2021 or 2022 responded to 17 calls in the borough of Dallas. There was over 1,200 calls in Dallas. We paid between insurance and the stipend that we paid was close to $60,000, $38,000 for a stipend, $20,000 for insurance. Tiene que dejar la puerta abierta, señora. So we roughly paid, I don't know, $3,000 per call that was responded to here in town. We also found out that their status at the state is not active, the license is not active, and they currently, according to the state website, again,
The state website also shows that they are not a valid nonprofit. So, with all that being said, they currently have no insurance, they currently have no membership. And so, listen, I'm more than happy. We offered to have a solution with the Bountiful Rescue Squad. In fact, we started this process with them as a partner. Well, they decided, hold on, before you interrupt me, they did not show up to the meetings.
He had a lead because his wife was...
One meeting. We've had 10 meetings so far.
I mean, if I could just interject, the no insurance and the not registered with the state is a non-starter. You can't
have the state from a liability.
Well, you see whatever you want.
Show me your insurance. Show me your registration. Yes. Until you see that, you're putting... Not you.
Listen,
you're putting the borough at risk if we did anything with them. So we have to verify that they have those insurance and registration in place. If you get verification that that's in place, then there's a conversation to be had.
Yeah.
Not until then.
As of right now, none of those things are active. They don't even have a registered EMS personnel on staff, and I believe their registration to act as an EMS service expired on the 10th of January and has still not been renewed. So, with all that being said, I'd like to be in the EMS service too. Unfortunately, I don't have any of the equipment, credentials, or insurance to do so. So, I too cannot do it. That's where we're at. We also did want to, we did start because the path of least resistance here is the Bountiful Rescue Squad, right? But if they don't show up to meetings, if they don't show up with solutions, and they don't show up with a budget, I can't help. I have to find an alternative. Plain and simple, right? This is going to be one of those situations where it comes down to a business decision. Do we have the basics? Just the basic paperwork to get started. If I don't have that, I can't do it. Right? And that's where we're at right now. Yeah, and please, listen, this problem is not a 2-month-old problem. This is now a 5-year-old problem where we're throwing good money after bad money and we don't have a real solution, right? So over the last 5 years, we've probably put in close to $250,000. We probably had less than 200 calls responded to during that time.
We're not currently funded,
right?
It's not
in our budget.
It's not in our budget.
We have a line item for it. We haven't removed it because we're looking to still contribute to somebody and make the money work without removing it from our budget and then not have anything. So it's there, but it's not allocated for that.
What is that, $30,000?
It's $38,000 plus an additional $20,000 for insurance that we paid for. Their workman's comp. And that was for their volunteers. But they haven't gotten out on any volunteer calls.
No.
They had to have workman's comp for their paid service, which they haven't had in years. So it's a non-existent service, which, we want it to work, but it doesn't exist.
I hear it from many people.
Listen, if it was just a matter of we have our services, but this is people's lives that we're talking about. This is the most important thing besides a budget. The budget comes very far in a second place to people's lives. So I take this very seriously.
So private insurance should try for the next time.
Next committee is Chair of Personnel Administration and Ordinances, Councilman Lopez.
Yeah, well, I have to report that we new employees went to orientation this past weekend for newly elected officials. In order to learn better, to serve better. We're going to another one in February about budgeting. So, again, our wish is to we'll provide as best of the services we can. So we're working on it, right? And for the committees that I'm the liaison for, the Board of Education had their first reorganization meeting that, like, I think 2 weeks ago. I was not able to go because of a scheduling conflict. I wasn't aware until too late. But I'm going to the next meeting, which is going to be the first working meeting they're going to have. And then the historic preservation, Mrs. Harvick's here. I don't know if she has made, they had an attempt for meeting, right? But yeah, I don't know if you want to. Is she allowed to?
No.
No? Okay, so I'll tell what she told me. All right, sure, no problem. Some members were not there. Some members that appear as active on the committee are not. So she made a request to reorganize the committee. That's what we're working on. And I'm planning they're going to have the first meeting in February, which the first Thursday of the month, which I will plan on attending. And then I will bring you some information once they have their first.
So okay, I have three meetings.
Yeah, exactly.
I will make a resolution on the new business, mm-hmm. just to mm-hmm. appoint them.
Yep. Yeah, I got the.
And then this way, yep. you guys are off to the races.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Okay. That's it.
Very good. Chair of Economic Development, Councilman Francitelli.
Okay, well, the buildings are all going up as scheduled, probably the most exciting one since the last report. And I know this is the building that's probably raising the most havoc for the businesses downtown, is the Redwood. They started the demolition on East Street. Now, that's the bad news, of course, is it's disruptive to the business, but the good news is if they get started now, they'll get finished quicker. So that building, why it's so exciting, is going to be a centerpiece in our town. It's beautiful architecture. It's going to bring a lot of new, hopefully, customers to the businesses, and we just have to deal with it while it's going up. The other thing, the committee met, and we talked to a company called Vessel Technologies. They specialize in affordable housing. The property they're talking about is Herbie Petullo's old place. This would be the opposite end of town on the west end. There are issues, though, and of course the committee is trying to come up with suggestions for them. The problem is that the building we're proposing the property's not big enough for the building we're proposing. They want to go up four stories, but the restriction is three for that part of town, and for the amount of units they have, they will not have adequate parking. So, again, it's a great idea because most of the new apartments that are going up now are very, very expensive. I mean, you're talking $2,000 plus for small units. They're looking to come in the $1,500 to $1,600 range. It's something I think, even though there's no requirement for this town for affordable housing, we certainly don't want to kick out some of our big residents that want to stay here that can't afford to stay here, especially seniors that, you know, want to downsize. So anyway, the committee will be working with them, and basically that's my report.
Very good.
Question.
Sure.
Yes. Do you have anything for lower income families with any of these apartments coming in?
Well, that's exactly what these people are trying to do. But again, the size of Herbie's, I mean, we don't have that much more space, although the West End has potential. They would have to purchase some adjoining properties or work out a parking deal with it. But yeah, we do. We should have, even though it's not a requirement, I think it's the right thing to do.
There's some requirements now on the West End of town. There are some requirements in the zoning. The original plan didn't call for any. There were no COA obligations because of the saturation of low to moderate income. What they were qualified as low to moderate income during the last inventory audit, which was done 15 years ago. And then no governor has wanted to take up the issue again. So it's kind of been on hold. So we are doing our part to still stay ahead of the issue and look for those solutions. Now, those solutions can also come as apartments dedicated for first responders, for teachers, for elderly, for senior citizens, for that kind of, you know, so we can dictate, you know, what.
And these are all suggestions that the committee talked about. I mean, this is what these people specialize in, and they do really pretty architecture, too, which I was impressed. You know, simple buildings, but really gorgeous buildings. So we'll see, but again, it's.
I mean,
okay. You know, try and put a square peg in a round hole. Thank you.
All right. Finally, Chair of Zoning, Construction, and Code Enforcement, Councilman Petty.
Yes, my report for 2020 year end report. Department of Code Enforcement. Department of Finance. The department took in $88,945 for the month of December. Year end revenue was $1,076,215. The department's annual budget for 2022 was $822,000. We ended 2022 with $254,215 ahead of budget. In zoning and construction, for December, there was 9 zoning permits applications for review, 36 building permits issued, and 127 buildings inspections were. For all of 2022, there were 352 building permits and 1,445 building inspections versus 320 permits and 1,253 inspections in 2021. In housing and property maintenance for December, we conducted 150 inspections, issued 37 notices of violations and 16 summons. For 2022, we did 4,400 inspections and 1,226 notices of violations and 413 summons. We issued 43 more violations notice and 27 more summons in 2022 versus 2021. In the housing, all multi-dwellings were inspected. For fire prevention, all required life hazard inspections were conducted for 2022. For health, all required food preparations and distribution locations, child daycare locations, recreation bathing locations were inspected in 2022. And that's it for my report.
Yeah, I have one comment. And it's good that the department is ahead, but we have to be careful. The department isn't here to make money. It needs to break even legally, I think, right? The term, yeah. So I suggest, and I know that both Linda and you and me and a lot of missions clean things up, perhaps that money can be put towards things that help code enforcement. I mean, the attorney can probably.
I don't understand your question. What is the question?
We should probably discuss this offline.
Right.
It's probably best. And we can explain to you.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I do have one request as chair of code enforcement. Talmadge Avenue has become the epicenter of some of the largest zoning issues in the town. Just east and west of the Moose Lodge, you have tractor trailers parking behind the properties just west of Basra Ave, along the railroad track, and then behind and to the west, or to the east of the Moose, you have multiple properties that have now started parking fleets of commercial vehicles.
Do you have addresses for me?
I can give them to you offline if you want. But it's a good location, right? It's literally, go back there, go stand out in your backyard, and you'll look left and right, and you'll find it. The courts, I know violations are being written up, stuff like that, but if you can just stay on top of that, what ends up happening. And we cleaned up a lot of these over the years while I was on code. I made that one of my focuses. But if you let it go long enough, it festers and it's almost impossible to get rid of it later on. So, make our focus. That's it.
I got it.
Also, I do want to make a comment that there's a perception that when you drive around and you see things that are, or residents see things in their neighbors in their neighborhood, and they think that code enforcement is not doing their job.
I've had a couple of things brought to my specific attention that I then did a little digging, and they are doing their job. They're issuing summonses. They're going to the and we're working on giving them the tools to make it so that once the summons is issued and that it can be enforced and things can be. So what people don't see is that there are things going on behind the scenes that are working on getting things corrected. So I just like to get it out there that, you know, if you think they're not doing their job, there's a good chance they are, and we're not getting
4,400 violations of red ledger.
Inspections,
yes.
1,226 notices, and 413 summonses.
So,
I mean, that's what I mean. So they're addressing things. You know, one resident called me, and I looked up the history, and I said, oh, there were 42 violations.
No, the guys do a really good job of inspecting, and they closed it down. When we were there as a committee, we had broken down the townhouse as a quadrant,
mm-hmm.
and they would visit each quadrant once a week, twice a week, and then, you know, north and south locations. So they do a pretty good job.
Yeah. A handful of things stand out to certain people, and then that's what they focus on, and then they assume that nothing's happening.
Right.
But I just want to actually publicize it, because I think there are things that can be improved, but there's a lot of things that are being done that people think.
And since the pandemic, the court rules have changed.
Yes.
No longer they can just issue a warrant because you didn't pay your... They give you another chance to come to court and give you another chance. So the process is even longer than it used to be in dealing with code enforcement.
Well, and less ability to enforce.
Right. So, you know, our guys are doing what they can, but once it reaches the court, from the state level, we've been having, you know, all communities have been having five rules that have changed.
Okay, on to introduction of ordinances. We have several ordinances where we're doing first reading. Start off with Ordinance 2023-03, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 7 Traffic, Section 40, Control for Movement and the Parking of Traffic on Public and Private Property of the Revised General Ordinances of the Borough of Bamberg to remove Municipal Parking Lot 5 and 6.
Motion. I move the ordinance to pass the first reading as in the law and public hearing be held on February 14th, 2020.
Second.
Okay, discussion at all?
On an ordinance?
Yes. Do we need discussion for any of these?
This is an introduction.
Oh, just first reading. Okay. Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Berchovitz?
This is supposed to help the downtown, right?
This cleans up language. Yeah. So without speaking too much, this cleans up language of non-existent parking lots anyway. So 5 and 6 are still in our books, but 5 and 6 no longer actually exist.
Yeah.
So
is this clerical?
Yeah, this is clerical housekeeping stuff.
Just has to get passed as an order.
Okay, yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Okay, passes. 2023-04. An ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 7, Traffic, Section 7-12, Parking Time Limited on Certain Streets of the Revised General Ordinances of the Borough of Bamberg to designate 15-minute parking zones.
Motion. I move the ordinance be passed on first reading, advertised according to law, and public hearing be held on February 14, 2023.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Question, is there going to be two readings for this?
Yes, there always is.
Yeah.
Okay. You've been here long enough, Rick. Abstain.
Councilman Prinzatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Berchovic?
Yes.
This is the creation of loading zones on the corners and that area that we're requesting.
I think the question in my head is how enforceable is it, but... You know what? That's a whole other can of beans.
That's a whole other can of beans.
We make the rules and somebody's got to enforce them. So that's...
Yeah. So, right. So, yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Okay. Passed. 2023-05. Ordinance of the Borough Council
of the Borough of Bound, Somerset County, New Jersey, amending the purchase price for the acquisition by negotiated purchase of property identified on the tax map of the Borough of Bound as Block 10, Lot 5, located at 11 Maiden Lane for a public purpose in the amount of $1,050,000.
$500,000.
$1,050,000. I'd love to get it for $500,000, but
$1,500,000.
Yeah. Yours is better. Yeah. Do I have a motion?
Motions. I move the ordinance be passed on first reading, advertised according to the law, and public hearing to be held on February 14th.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
No.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Birchbeck?
No.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Okay, this will pass.
It's for parking lots.
It's what?
It's for a parking lot.
I know what it's for, but why are we buying it?
Yeah.
So no discussion, guys. You bring up more questions?
Yeah, let's go
we'll
discuss
next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the ordinance on final reading and consideration. This is for a second reading. This is involving the redevelopment area 1. But I'm going to request a motion to table this pending hearing at Planning Board on 126.
I don't think we can make a motion to table.
No, I'm requesting that someone make a motion to table it because it has to be reviewed. 26? It has to be.
It was advertised to have a second reading. However, it needs to be heard before the Planning Board review.
Okay.
So motion to table.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez.
Yes.
Councilman Petty.
Tabling, yes.
Yeah.
Wait. This already was heard. No?
Yeah. First reading.
The first reading.
Oh, first reading. Yes. I'm sorry.
First reading. So we're going to table this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Councilman Petty?
Yeah.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Birchbeck?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Okay. 2023-02. An ordinance of the Borough Council of the Borough of Bound repealing ordinance 2019-01. Amendment to salary range ordinance for the Office of Emergency Management Coordinator. Do we have a motion to open public comment?
Motion.
Second.
Okay. We have anyone in the public who'd like to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, we have a motion to close public comment.
Motion.
Second.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's a discussion. Okay, we have a motion to pass.
Motion. Oh, we have to. Okay. Yeah. I move the ordinance be passed on second reading and advertise according to law.
We have second.
Second.
Okay. Now, this is when we can discuss this, Council.
What's the. I didn't get to read by the reason.
So
we're raising it or lower?
And we're removing the salary. So then it's just strictly volunteer.
Yeah.
And that's who is it now? Is it Jim?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Any other discussion?
No.
Okay. Roll call.
Council President Gomez.
Yes.
Councilman Petty.
No.
Councilman Francatelli.
Yes.
Councilman Longo.
Yes.
Councilwoman
Birchwick?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Okay, passed. All right, introduction, discussion of resolution, 2023-021. Resolution amending the bylaws of the Borough Council of the Borough of Bound Brook to allow governing body members to participate in a public meeting of the mayor and council virtually or by telephone. And the second reading will be held on February 14th, 2020.
With limitations. It doesn't say that. It has limitations.
So, yes.
It's not like a free
limited
for
all. Limited to five.
Yes, not a free for all. It's just for emergencies.
To five per year. Yes. And my understanding is that to change bylaws, there needs to be it has to have four or six.
Five
of five council. Okay. Is
to change the bylaws. Okay, do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
No.
Councilman Franzatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Brinchevich?
No.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
So we need 506 for the 506, is correct?
That's fine, it doesn't pass.
Okay, no, I just want to confirm.
So then what happens? We have no limit then to...
No, we're not allowed.
No, we have
no,
either.
No, right now your bylaws don't provide for virtual.
I don't care.
So you're absent, you're absent. You cannot even call. That's what it is, right?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can't make it, you can't.
You know, I don't know why I have to justify why I voted no, but the public can't call in, and I know I called in once, you've called in, this one's called in, that one's called in, but
I have never called in, actually. I have not called in. I'm just, in fact, I was told I couldn't call in, and Councilman Petty called in for the same meeting, so that's kind of why I suggested it. What's the rule? And it's fine, you can't do it then.
Now, is the problem because we have too many or because you guys just don't want to?
No, well, I think it's more about... Oh, well, I didn't vote, so...
Because I was told 5 per year, 20%. I don't see it that
I
much,
think
but if you want to change the number...
I mean, we're asking the public to come to a meeting, mm-hmm. right? There's no way for them to call in, right? There's no mm-hmm. virtual meeting. And we're going to take a pass, right, and be able to call in. Now, I know multiple council people have used that privilege, and then the discussion came up to review it, and after thinking about it, no. I don't think...
So we know that there will be times... And there will be times, I guarantee you this year, we will not be able to have a quorum.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Well,
because
I mean, the difference between you guys and the public is you have to be here, the public doesn't have to be here. So for you to say, like, it's not fair that they can't call in, so we shouldn't call in, well, you're not really on equal footing because they're not required to come. They choose to come when they want.
It's okay. Listen, sometimes bills just won't get paid and business doesn't get conducted. Yeah. But I know you guys just went to a governing official's meeting, so you probably don't get the gravity of it so far. And it's so what? Who cares? Who doesn't get paid?
For what it's worth. Most towns allow for...
We've always had, actually.
We can revisit.
We've always had.
We can revisit it.
We've done it before in emergencies.
We can revisit it.
That's what I was saying.
Fine.
But we can revisit later. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mr. Mayor, do we need 5 to get to a second reading, or we need 5 to pass?
This is a resolution.
This is a resolution.
So, hold on.
I
don't know.
Hold on. Let's get to some point of order. Discussion. We've already voted. Let's move on.
Well, the thing is, it technically passed 4-2.
No, but it's different. So, if we want to bring it back up, we'll talk about it offline. We'll put it back up.
Yeah,
we'll see if there's a volume. Somebody else who wants to change their mind. But other than that, there's no more discussion.
But wait, hold on. Let's do the math.
Hold on. You want to bring it up after?
But I just want to know what was the vote?
4-2.
But there's 3 votes right here. So how could it be 4-2?
4-2, yes, to bring it to a second, to bring it to a hearing, not the pass.
We were
going to
ask for guidance.
Wait a minute.
I'm asking for guidance.
Stop. It's a resolution. There is no second reading.
Right. So.
Says there's a second reading.
I don't know that that's a requirement.
No, it's not.
So it passed.
No.
How did it not pass?
Under the bylaws, you need 5 votes to change anything.
Okay.
That's why I want a clarification. I'm like,
okay.
You need to change that in your bylaws.
The majority is the numbers person.
That's what you need to
That's what I want to clarify.
Change that in your bylaws.
Okay, so now we have a number of resolutions.
Mr. Mayor, I don't understand. It says in our bylaws that you need a majority to go to the second
reading. It needs to pass of the bylaws, not to go to.
Not a majority, 2/3.
Council and mayor?
No, the mayor doesn't vote.
Well, 2/3 is 42, right?
Yes, that's why I'm wondering. What?
So why didn't
what is the...
So why didn't they put this?
So, I
do have the bylaws because no one has shown them.
Should I get this calculated out?
I don't, but that's the answer directly from the bylaws.
I personally don't care. I don't miss meetings. Vinny, I think you have like a 35% absentee rate, which is probably beneficial to you.
All right. You're perfect.
No, I'm just saying.
Let me say this. There is a flaw in the way your bylaws are written, because your bylaws say they can only be altered by an affirmative vote of not less than 2/3 of the mayor and council.
That's what I'm saying. The mayor can vote.
Well, but typically the mayor can't vote. This is the flaw in your bylaws, is that you're letting the mayor vote when the mayor doesn't have the right to vote.
And I believe the mayor is voting on something else before the past. That's me.
Me?
That not you.
Oh,
please.
I'll give you something.
But then there's a part there that you need 5 votes.
It says 5 because you're counting the mayor as a vote. But I'm saying this is flawed as written, because the mayor in a borough form of government doesn't vote in any situation except to break a tie.
Yeah, okay.
You don't get a special vote for bylaws.
So, do we need to read the bylaws?
You have to read the bylaws.
Okay, so the bylaws are defective.
So, Jasmine, let's you and I work on this, and we'll present it.
So then this vote never happened?
No, it did happen, and it failed, and we're going to present something new at the next meeting.
Okay.
So with that amendment, then it will be a 2/3 majority if we vote?
I'm going to make recommendations to all of you on amendments to your bylaws.
Exactly.
And then if you would like to reintroduce this and vote on it again, you may.
Yes.
Yeah, we both can have it. A lot of council people just showing up in order to change the process.
You and I are working on it. All right, you want to move on?
Yes, moving on. We have a number of resolutions 2023-022 through 030. Would any of these resolutions request that a separate discussion from any of the council members?
Oh, I can't do the last one. I have to accuse on the last one. She has to kick my wife off.
Alright, so motion or remove 2023-030
for
Council.
Okay.
And then the other ones, I'll make a motion to approve 2022-2029
on one reading.
I have a question on 23.
Okay.
Should we just move that as separate?
Yes.
There's a question, yes.
Okay, so 2022, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29 on one vote.
Yes.
Can we do that?
Everybody good? Right, so there's a motion and a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, 2023-023, resolution approving and authorizing execution of a parking space agreement with Joseph and Dominic Tedaro, owners of Mama Rosina's or an entity owned by them, for parking spaces on New Jersey Transit parking lot in front of Mama Rosina's restaurant in the West Side train station building. Should we do a motion and then a second and then a discussion? Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
We have discussion? Questions?
So I think there was an email circulated from the attorney that there were two things that the Rosinas wanted added to the lease. The thing we're voting on is without those two, and then presenting it the lease to them to sign, which I'm assuming they're not going to sign because of the response from their attorney, or how we handle it.
One was to tie the parking lease to the building lease.
Have you seen the lease?
I have. We have. We've worked on it. Yeah. They just requested something last week, I think. I just want to make sure that it made it into this resolution.
Yes, the other.
Yeah. Both are made in?
Okay. That's all I need to know. So we can vote.
Okay. Yes. Right. Roll call.
Council President Gomez.
Yes.
Councilman Petty.
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli.
Yes.
Councilman Longo.
Yes.
Councilwoman Berchefek.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Perfect. 2023-030, resolution canceling the bid for the Bamberg Pool renovation phase one project and authorizing a rebid. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Good. I don't think we need discussion. This is being removed due to potential conflict, so we'll do roll call, please.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Berchevic?
Yes. Right. I don't have to recuse myself because I'm on DPW, right?
No.
Okay.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes. Yes.
Good. Okay, do we have any unfinished business?
Yes, new business. So,
okay, well, we can skip right to new because they're right now.
So, new business. I'd like to add a resolution nominating Ray Vaskar, Tom Harabin, and Peter Lazaro for members of the Historic Preservation Committee. That would be the first one. And then another resolution, transferring my liaisonship from the Shade Tree Committee to Council of Human Records.
I'll second that.
Which one?
Both.
Okay. On the first one, to appoint the members of the Historic Preservation. That's just a resolution.
I'm sorry?
You can do them together if everyone agrees, yeah. Unless someone wants to separate.
I'm sorry, but once the chair of the Historic Preservation is here, another. Go ahead. Oh, there's one more.
Wait.
Kevin Baresi as the old toad. I'm sorry.
He already had the name. She's
yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to give this over to Jasmine so she has
the name. This is for appoint two members and an alternate.
Right. Three members and
three members and an alternate. And also.
And to switch over the.
And to move the liaisonship. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Good. So that's unfinished and new business.
I actually have I guess it could be unfinished and news. Are we doing anything with the downtown parking vouchers for the business people?
No. So we actually spoke. So the parking currently, I think it's $52 for $50. We had already done something a while back, which is $50 for parking. For the vendor downtown.
Because what normally it's like 106?
109 and 55.
So we don't. So we don't want to do a free one then. I'm for it, but if anybody else is.
So here's we looked at other townships. No other township offers this. And again, what we're going to do is how many tags we give out. We have the authority to give out the tags in the parking lot. So I think we just leave it as is. We've already addressed this issue once before, and we came up with a parking structure and payment system, which is at a discounted rate.
So everybody else is on board with that?
I mean,
I have to look into it.
Well, it's not a look into, it's a yes or no. I mean, it would only be a temporary thing. It's not like, you know, and I know other towns don't do it, but we're doing a lot of development, and it's just a little bone that we can sort of give them.
I do like the idea because it is temporary. So if anybody wants to do that, just so that until, you know, as we promised them and mentioned numerous times,
once
they're all done, there's going to be parking for the tenants. You will not be there during the day, so there will be but it does get into the question of A, how many do you give out, how do you enforce it, who gets the voucher? I mean,
well, are we doing for the whole downtown or just for the people in that one corner? Which
I would do it for the whole downtown. You have to. And I think the chief says it's just a matter of giving him a voucher, right? It's not.
It's like something to put in the window, right?
Yeah, so it's a tag to put in the window. I mean, listen, I'm suggesting it. If there's no support on the council, obviously I'm the only one.
Here's what, if it's lost revenue, number one.
It's not lost revenue because they're empty anyway.
Well,
and they're not,
what I'm saying is, there's 60 businesses downtown, right? About 60 stores. Maybe get rid of it. You get two tags per. That's 120.
One per business.
60.
One.
Now, the problem with here hasn't been necessarily because nobody else has actually been thinking about parking, right? Except for that one quarter. The problem is the distance between them and the parking. So
we could give them a spot there, but they're still not going to want it.
Yeah, well, if they don't want them, they don't use it. I mean,
but to your point, then you're going to have people who don't necessarily need it that are going to then take it and use it.
I wouldn't have used it.
No, I know.
Yeah, because I parked in the back.
They were here again today. They sold one. They didn't ask for parking.
If we have 60 allocated and you don't want it, can you buy two?
No.
In other words, you're going to limit one per
gets
business.
One.
Okay.
Each. You, in other words, you don't just get it in the mail.
You have to go get it.
Okay. But theoretically, you could have applied, got your tag, and gave it to somebody.
I could have, but I don't
care.
I mean, I think the fact that we already give it discounted, you know, $50 a month to park is not unreasonable.
No, it's not.
And I don't think those spots are what they want anyway.
No.
So I don't know that that's going to alleviate anything. But obviously,
if the council does not want to do it, it's fine.
But no, I'm glad you brought it.
We'll hear much about it, except the mayor. But, yeah.
All right. Just on to approval of. Oh, no more new business. Approval of vouchers. 2023-031 resolution approving vouchers in the amount of $992,682.11. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Transitelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Brinchovic?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Good. Last chance to open to the public for comment. Speak into the microphone so we can hear you. Need it for the recording. Even though we know who you are. We know who you are, but you still have to record. You know the drill.
Carol Hall of West 2nd Street. On the property that we just purchased on Maiden Lane, can I know the reason or the public why we're purchasing that?
Potential parking. Potential parking. For parking.
For parking.
So the idea here is to make a parking lot from Mountain Avenue to Maiden Lane, and we purchased the properties on Mountain with garages in between and the property on the other. Well, this authorizes us to purchase it. This property would close, I believe it's November 1st, and then we move to remove that building. And the garage, the other ones, we should be closing sooner. Between moving the tenants out and all that. The garages in the middle are probably the easiest thing to knock down, and if we get all the ducks in the road, we should be able to get the parking lot back there from the garages all the way to Main Lane, which is the more important outlet by the end of the year.
Okay, I understand.
And it could start
now with on the Historical Commission. Mm-hmm. Is that just for Bound Brook?
Yes.
Okay. Are the members on that committee from Bound Brook?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Tom Harrigan is from South Bound, right?
Okay. I'm not sure if that means.
I can take on that for the next meeting. I'll bring you.
We know that Tom Harrigan isn't, but we should probably check if they need to be residents.
Okay. All right. So we will check on that.
I wonder why someone from South Bound Brook is on our historical.
Okay. It's probably because of the lack of volunteerism.
Trying
to get enough people. I know last year they barely met because they didn't have a quorum. They didn't have enough people. So they may be going out there to listen to people.
Do we ask anybody?
Yeah, we'll find out.
I'll find out for you in the first meeting we're going to have, and then I will bring you the information.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor? All opposed?
I don't want to go home.